All right. Paul White joins us. Of course, Paul, the baseball expert back east, creator of the USA Today Baseball Weekly, and loved talking with him. And we had him on last week, and I said, Paul, we got to have you on next week to see your analysis of what happened here. So glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, so here we go. The biggest surprise. How about that? We'll start. I'll give you a couple of questions first.
Well, I think the one that came out of the blue was the Zach Greinke thing.
Okay.
You know, all the guys we talked about, pitchers, you know, even Arizona, Robbie Ray's going to go. Well, Greinke went, and it's Houston again, just like they got Verlander last year. So I think that one and the fact that the Mets held on to all their pitching, plus they added Marcus Stroman.
What about Trevor Bauer and that deal? And I will say this, Reyes of San Diego, I like a lot.
Right, especially now that he can DH.
Yeah, I think he's terrific. And Puig, say whatever you want to say about him, but when you add it up, it's 22 homers, 67 RBIs, he's hitting 250, and he gives you 100,000% every game. I thought Cleveland did well in that thing.
Yeah, they did in the fact that they badly needed offense, especially in their outfield. They've been mixing a lot of young guys in there this year, and I think long-term, Mercado, the kid they put in center field a lot now, Jake Bowers, who they sent to the minors after the deals, but is a real good young player. I think those guys are going to turn out to be pretty good in the long run, but Cleveland's going for it now. They got a chance to win that division, and they certainly upgraded where they need to. The question I have, I guess, is now do they have enough starting pitching? Say what you want about Bauer, the same thing as Puig. You know, you might not like everything he does, but he sure does produce. And do they have enough with Bieber and Clevenger? And I don't know. Maybe they can get away with it in that division. But I thought in the past the one thing that Cleveland had going for them was if they could get to the playoffs, they'd have a really difficult pitching staff to deal with. And now I'm not sure I feel like that about them.
No, well, starters don't matter. I mean, they do.
You're right, but that's not Brad Hand at the end is good, but they've got a real sort of mix-and-match oddball group setting them up. So I don't know. You know, again, I think they can win the division, but I don't know if that's enough.
Yeah, the world has changed. Yep. Now, Verlander, Cole, Greinke could probably give you seven. They could give you seven, but if you get into one of these teams that takes a million pitches and all of a sudden the pitch count is up, well, those guys probably Hinch would stay with, but just about everybody else, I don't care who you are.
Right.
Maybe Kershaw will give you six. They're not going to take him out, but Bueller and whoever else they throw at you, you need a bullpen. It's a story of baseball, and to me, the biggest surprise, all the bullpen guys got traded and very few starters.
Well, but I think we, again, GMs looked around and said, I can get decent, solid bullpen guys, and they could be my sixth inning guy, my seventh inning guy. I can mix and match a lot of the guys I have, and it doesn't cost me nearly as much. You can get a bullpen guy for some decent prospects, but I don't think we saw a lot of great prospects move this year, and that's one of the things. Though that in the past, it's always been a big deal. Who got the great young prospects? I didn't see a lot of those guys go. I mean, San Diego traded off a couple of guys. Logan Allen, who struggled. They've liked him a lot as a big prospect. He's really struggled this year, but he's been in the majors. Corbin Martin, Houston traded away. Good prospect. Struggled in the majors. And then he had Tommy John when he went back to the minors. So Arizona's getting a guy for a year out. But we didn't see the blue chip guys go as much as we usually do.
Well, Trammell went from...
Yeah, Taylor Trammell, yep.
He went there. Chisholm went from Arizona to the Marlins, but none of the Clint Frazier's of the world, Kyle Tucker or Forrest Whitley.
Exactly.
So here's the deal. The front offices, they don't have Brian Sabian anymore in there. They're very few. Dombrowski and a couple others are still there. But they're all the analytical guys. And the analytical guys are in love with the prospects, and they don't want to part with them.
Yeah, but even that crosses the line. Brian Cashman's getting raked over the coals in New York. Why didn't you do anything? Again, you talk about it. Cashman's saying, I can get by with my bullpen. I've got okay starting pitching, even though it's beat up right now with Severino out all year so far, Sabathia on the IL. I've got some problems with my starting pitching, but you know what? My bullpen's going to do it for me.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Especially in the American League, it's, you know, the American League's top heavy. It's fine. You can make the playoffs if you're a team like the Yankees, the Astros, but that's going to be a real difficult run in the playoffs once you get there in the American League.
Yeah, it's I don't know, for a team like the Yankees. Let me ask you this: were you surprised that Bumgarner didn't get? I guess who knows what the offers were.
Right.
Who knows what the Robbie Ray offers were. Are you surprised that maybe that those two didn't move, or that the offers weren't big enough to kind of pry them out?
Yeah, I again, as you said, what were the offers? I guess I'm not surprised that their teams valued them highly enough to say, okay, here's the level you have to reach with your offers. Now, I think one of the things that happened this year is everybody's kind of guessing, you know, that staring match right down to the last minute of the trade deadline. Nobody quite knew how to measure it this year because there was no August trades. So I think a lot of GMs who were selling thought, I'm going to get somebody to buckle at the last minute and give me all that I want. Those prospects that we just talked about that didn't move as much this year. And you know what? People didn't do it. And I think a few GMs, and again, we may never know if the Giants are in that situation, if Robbie Ray was in a situation like that. But I don't think those offers ever materialized.
No, I don't think they did. I think the front offices are holding on to these prospects. This is the change in the game. And the veterans just don't move around as much. They're not willing to do it. So go ahead.
Well, I think that also ties in with what we've seen in the last couple of off seasons, you know.
Yeah.
You want your younger players so you don't have to go out and spend big money on, say, mid-level free agents. We've seen that market dry up for free agents for the same reason. It's now become, and again, it goes back to the analytics. It tells you there is far more value in a kid that's coming along. You take Cleveland. They banked on a lot of kids in their outfield. It didn't work out so far. So they went out and rent a couple guys here for the stretch. And, you know, Puig's a rental. Now, they paid to get Reyes, but, again, that's a guy they can build with. So they kind of stuck to their guns on that.
I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but for me it's a wake-up call for the people you just described, the Bumgarners of the world, the Robbie Rays of the world, Will Smith, because they're going to get qualifying offers.
Right.
I don't think any of them will take it. Maybe Will Smith would. Maybe he would take a one-year $18 million offer. But if they go in the market with a qualifying offer and they go with that draft pick compensation, you're asking for trouble. I think in a way, and baseball's smart, they're always trying to save money. And in a way, by not getting involved with these kind of players in serious trade negotiations, it kind of sends a message to the market that, hey, we're not going to spend, as you just described, big money on Bumgarner, Ray, and these other people. And it allows the clubs they're with to get them back at a reduced price. I think baseball's got a plan here.
Well, yeah, and I also think we're going to see a real interesting staring match when we get to this off season. Do you take those qualifying offers, or do you even get the qualifying offer?
Mm.
Now, you know, at what point do the agents and the players, the veteran guys, say, you know what, we better take the qualifying offer? And if you're the Giants, you're sitting there. What do you really do now? Do you give Bumgarner a qualifying offer? He's certainly worth it, but what if he takes it? Is that what you really want, or is it? You know, it's a one-year deal. Maybe it's worth the gamble, but it's going to be interesting in different teams in different situations. How do they approach that? And I don't think anybody involved knows how the others are going to react.
Yeah, I think for the Giants, they have to. Because otherwise you get nothing.
Yeah, right.
And you get nothing. And even for Will Smith, even if he took it, I don't think they'd be thrilled. But I think they think he will go somewhere. and and have some sort of market. But I could see him taking the qualifying offer.
For sure. But at least if you get the qualifying offer, then you put yourself back in the same position next July.
Yeah. All right, interesting. Boy, interesting. Paul White with us. The Cubs. Joe Maddon was very outspoken. Of course, he's one of the older managers in baseball, and who knows where he'll be next year. But they got Nick Castellanos. They got Tony Kemp. Darvish is pitching very well. Derek Holland. They got David Phelps, the former Yankee, you know, has had surgery. And Maddon said this. He said, look, I'm telling everybody right now, you don't produce, you're not playing. I'm only going with guys that produce. And it was somewhat of a wake-up call for the Cubs, and they won today 4-1 over the Brewers. And I thought Maddon was pretty interesting to do that.
Yeah, because he's been a guy who's always gone out of his way to keep his entire roster involved, move guys in and out of the lineup, and now he's got to go with the best guys. The pressure's on there. You know, Cole Hamill started for them today, did a great job. That's going to be huge if he's right. It may be the difference in that division, but yeah, they just came out of St. Louis and had a really difficult time. They're doing fine. They beat the Brewers today again, two in a row, and I think they're a better team than the Brewers, but they're going to have a hard time with the Cardinals here down the stretch. And Maddon has all those pieces, and you're right. You know, it's nice that they brought Ian Happ back up from the minors. It's nice that they have Albert Almora on their bench, but you know, he's got to go with whoever's hitting the ball, and his job's on the line too. That's been very obvious from day one, from start of spring training, where Theo Epstein basically said, "You've got to be a little bit more involved here, Joe, and you got to win."
Yeah, boy, the Atlanta Braves. All right, they get Shane Green. I like it. Yep. You know, legitimate closer. Although, look, this is not Aroldis Chapman. You know what I mean?
No, but it's an upgrade over what they've had.
That's true, for sure. Over Luke Jackson, whoever. Yeah. I don't know who. Jim Jack. I don't know who. probably basketball players I'm talking about.
Right.
But they got him. They got Melanson, who had a terrific 10 days. You can't you can't overuse him, I will tell you that.
Right.
And I'll talk about Dyson in a second. But and then they got Martin from Texas. So no starting pitchers, though. And here we are, you know, Soroka and Fried and Dallas Keuchel. And you've got Fulton Avich in the minor leagues. Here we go. They didn't get a starting pitcher.
Right, and again, they did, you know, go back to what you talked about. They focused on shoring up that bullpen and knowing that they have a lot of guys that are going to pitch five or six innings out there. Teron, and they got Kevin Gausman back, right, who's been solid since he came back. And they've got a bunch of kids in the minors that we keep hearing about. We see them bits and pieces. We could see them rotating some of those guys in and out, Bryce Wilson, and you mentioned Fulton Evich. You know, I could see a shuttle going back and forth to the Gwinnett team out there in the suburbs, but they're taking that gamble, and that's going to be very interesting because you've got the Washington team, which clearly has the better starting pitching, but they went out and tried to, for the 18th time, fix their bullpen, and if they're right, they're probably a better team than Atlanta. Now, is that enough to make up the difference in the standings? There's certainly plenty enough time to do it.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really interesting race. And, you know, I mentioned the Mets briefly a little bit ago. They're certainly a factor now. That's going to be the fascinating division.
Yeah, very much so. Stroman goes today against Chris Archer. So we'll see what happens there. The other one, the Phillies. How'd you like the Philly game last night?
That was amazing. I mean, how do you get yourself into those kind of positions?
You got to set it up for the audience here. There's a pitcher playing left field, Vince Velasquez.
Well, you got to back up further. They had Zach Eflin pitching in relief, and they pinch ran for him once he reached second base in whatever extra inning was, 13th to 12th. Anyway, and Gabe Kaplan, manager's explanation later was, well, he was feeling a little twinge in there. We didn't want to push him any farther. Okay, I understand that. But the only other reliever he had in the bullpen stayed there, and the only explanation for that was, well, he couldn't get loose.
Mm.
And so not only do they pinch run for Eflin with Vince Velasquez, who's in the rotation right now, they don't score. They have to go to the next inning, and Velasquez has to go to left field. And Roman Quinn, who was in the outfield, came in to pitch.
Wow. Wow. This is made for Jason Stark. You know that.
Of course it is. And the best part, of course, if you haven't seen it yet, Velasquez throws an incredible throw from left field to get the potential winning run at the plate. And I believe it was the 13th. They eventually scored in the 14th or 15th and beat him. But he threw a guy out at the plate with an incredible throw.
I love it. And that's the first time that happened since 1950 with old Ned Garver, who was one of the best pitchers in the league for the St. Louis Browns. He won 20 games. He's like Steve Carlton with the Phillies in the early 70s. Carlton won 27, the Phillies won 54.
Right.
So Ned Garver. And then Quinn takes the loss, steals a base, and hits a home run. He's the first pitcher to do that since Fred Hutchinson in the late 40s. What a night.
It was amazing. And there's still not a lot of clear explanations to quite how the Phillies got themselves in that mess. And, you know, Kapler was vague about a lot of that stuff, and maybe it's legit. I mean, look, if the guy can't get loose out there and can't throw, then you can't bring him in. If the other guy says he has a twinge in his shoulder, although Eflin afterwards, when asked about it, said, "I did not take myself out. They made that decision." So he kind of passed the buck.
Yeah. Boy, what a story. Crazy. Well, baseball has changed. As I say, Paul White, I love talking ball with Paul. The game, the last three outs are still the same, as exciting as can be. But how you get to the last three outs, it's a whole new world.
And there's still a lot of guys that can't figure out how to get the last three, no matter how good they are.
Yeah, what a story. That's why this wild card is still interesting. The Cubs, 51 losses, Washington, 51, and the Giants, 55. As I said, it's time for you got to root against the Cubs in Washington here just to get a few more losses.
Yeah, because if you don't want the top teams in those other divisions to start to pull away a little bit. Yeah. You know, because I mean the Cubs beating Milwaukee really hurts the other contenders, because you could, if the Cubs have a big weekend against the Brewers, suddenly you could see the Cubs and Cardinals pulling away from the pack.
Exactly. Or,
you know,
exactly.
If the Braves and the Nationals pull away in the East, all of a sudden there goes two wild card spots.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Over.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. So we have to watch how that goes. All right, great to have you on as always. Always a lot of fun to talk with you. And what a crazy year for baseball. There's so much going on.
Oh, and a lot more to come.
All right, Paul, thanks so much.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Very good. Now, that is Paul White. Boy, that is a baseball conversation. As Ken Korek says, talk a little baseball with you. Remember, I used to say that? All right.